listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Good morning. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to be back with you this week. Well, it appears the federal government's going to move forward mid-October with new restrictions on legal immigration. Green cards would be denied to many applicants who use Medi-Cal here in California, food stamps, housing vouchers, or other forms of public assistance. Officials made the announcement earlier today. Federal law already requires those seeking permanent residency to prove that they will not be a burden to the U.S. This is what's known as a public charge. Government speak for getting public benefits for those who are here in the U.S. seeking a green card. This is part of an overall overhaul of the nation's immigration system that President Trump's administration has been attempting to carry out in his term of office. Joining us to talk about what the implications are for green card applicants is Temple University Professor of Law Emeritus Jan C. Ting. Professor Ting, good to have you with us again.
Hey, great to be with you.
So let's talk about what this would mean. Do we have any sense of how many green card applicants are typically recipients of one or more of these public sources of aid?
I don't have statistical information on that, but I think it's pretty clear that Congress for a long time has specified in American law that persons who are liable to become public charges are not admissible into the United States. And that applies broadly, not just to visa holders for green card applicants, but it applies to tourists. It applies to all categories of persons. You're either inadmissible or you're not. And if the inadmissibility situation applies to you, if you're likely to become a public charge, you cannot enter the United States in any capacity.
Does federal law or regulation, does it lay out what public charge means? Is it, for example, maybe a brief period of time where someone accepts SNAP food stamp assistance but then goes off of it? Is that disqualifying? Do we know what that fully means?
The Congress has left it to the executive branch to interpret that language. Obviously, Congress can step in any time that it wants to clarify what they mean by public charge, but the executive branch is authorized by Congress to interpret the statute as enacted by Congress. I would just, emphasize the fact that Congress made this decision a long time ago and, delegated the interpretation of the language to the executive branch, and that's what's happening now.
We're talking with Professor Emeritus, Professor of Law, Temple University in Philly, Jan C. Ting. Professor Ting was Assistant Commissioner of the INS in the early 1990s. Also with us, Deputy Director of the National Immigration Law Center, an immigrant rights organization, Kamal Esaheb. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. How do you see this playing out as a practical matter? Do you have a sense of how many people this might exclude from permanent residency?
Well, we don't know how many people, ultimately will be negatively affected by this rule. What we do know is that the rule is very complicated, and we don't know when it's going to be implemented, how many people will be denied the ability to stay here with their families. But what we do know is, in addition to the effect it's going to have on people at the green card process, it's having a whole other effect on people's ability to seek support that they and their children need, whether it's health care, whether it's housing assistance. That's a chilling effect that it's going to have, and it's actually already having. We're talking about 26 million people potentially affected.
Go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
I'm saying millions of kids whose parents are immigrants, millions of citizen kids whose parents are immigrants, who are going to, forego, accessing services that they're eligible for because of this rule. So the effects here are very significant, and some of them will be on the immigration side, on people's eligibility for green cards or status, their ability to stay here. But there are other far-reaching effects that are going to reach deep into the, you know, the well-being of immigrants and U.S. citizen kids.
How do you determine public charge? If you were to define that term as Congress laid it out, what do you think they meant?
Well, Congress defined the term, you know, or at least created the term over 100 years ago, and then agencies have, you know, interpreted it over that period. This is, you know, before this rule, the way, you know, that provision of the law was implemented is, you know, the agency would look at whether the individual took cash assistance or whether they've been in long-term institutional care. What's being proposed here is far, far, far broader than that, and it looks at benefits that have for decades and decades not been considered by the agency, and it's looking at benefits that are just more likely to be accessed by this population.
Were food stamps included traditionally? Because I know it's not cash, but it's essentially cash. Was that included?
No, they were not.
Okay, so that would be included under this, and presumably that would be one of the biggest sources of aid. If the intent was, though, a century ago or whenever the federal guidelines were made, that people who are granted permanent residency would be independent of the need for public assistance, then wouldn't it make sense that all these categories of public assistance would be exclusionary for people getting permanent status?
Well, the reality is, you know, these programs exist to, these are not programs that are meant to be taken up permanently. These are programs that for immigrants, for everybody who's here, are meant to be a bridge between hard times that individuals go through or moments where a kid goes sick and the family has to draw on savings or a parent is out of work for a few months. That's how these programs are, you know, for all of us. Are meant to operate. They're meant to bridge people from moments of need to times when they can thrive. And what this rule does is it's saying that immigrants, many of whom are parents of U.S. citizen kids, are cut off from getting that support that they and their kids are legally eligible for.
We're talking with the National Immigration Law Center's Deputy Director Kamal Esaheb. Also with us, Jan Ting, Professor Emeritus of Law, Temple University in Philadelphia. Professor Ting, what about Mr. Esaheb's point that these are parts of aid that are to which the individual is legally entitled? Many of these individuals have children that were born in the United States, are native U.S. born citizens, and this essentially part of the family establishing itself using much of this aid for a short term.
Well, the big idea of the American Revolution and the American experience and the American form of government is the idea that the American people are capable of governing themselves through their elected representatives without a king, right? That was a revolutionary idea in its time. It's still a revolutionary idea today, and we're testing that idea all the time. As I said earlier, if this interpretation is erroneous, is not what Congress intended, and I have no doubt the executive branch feels that it is what Congress intended, Congress is free to specify what their intent is, or they can leave it to the executive branch. My guess is they will leave it to the executive branch. This is congressional intent. This is consistent with the American system of government and rule of law. And anyone who is unhappy with the rule, as I guess some people are, is free to elect a different Congress. Write your member of Congress, and if they're not responsive, then campaign against them and elect a different Congress. That's how the system works.
Mr. Azahib, is your organization and others planning to take legal action against this, or would it be difficult, given the latitude the executive branch has, to have a successful legal challenge of this?
Well, yes, we plan to, and I think we already know enough, from the content of this rule to see that it is actually, unlawful. It goes against longstanding immigration law, and it's doing this with an intent to discriminate against people of color. But I want to respond, to the notion that this is just merely an interpretation or a technical rule that some career officials have conjured up to clarify Congress's intent. I want to just clarify, this is a rule that's been reportedly the number one priority of White House advisor Stephen Miller. In fact, he called it transformative of the immigration system. And so think of all the things that this president has done in immigration and to attack immigrants, from, shutting down the government to get money for his wall, to separating children from their parents and detaining kids in ages. This issue, this policy change that, the administration today is painting as narrow and technical, it's his chief immigration advisor's top priority. So, and I think that's because of all the things that I mentioned earlier.
But does that have to do with the legal standing of the executive branch to be able to make the change, regardless of who wants it, whose idea it is?
Yes, the motivation, we do believe that this is actually, this is racially motivated, that this is coming from the same place as the president's attack, on people of color, through other immigration policy changes. This is a president that said, hey, why do we have the TPS program? Why are we getting people from S-hole countries? Why don't we get more people from Norway?
Now, there are significant numbers, though, I thought, of green card applicants who are not people of color who are applying, right? It's a pretty broad group of people.
It is a broad group of people, but I think we anticipate the impact of this to be, to be adverse to people from certain countries and certain continents. And look, the reality is, speaking of big ideas, the words in the Statue of Liberty are, give me your poor, tired, huddled masses yearning to breathe free. It doesn't say give me your, wealthy, high-degreed, rich people who are, English speaking. So, just even at the big idea level, this goes, fundamentally against who we are as a country and how we have looked at taking in immigrants, regardless of how much money they have in their pockets.
Jan Ting with us, a professor emeritus, Law, Temple University. Thank you, sir, for being with us. We just heard from Kamal Azahib, deputy director of the National Immigration Law Center, which is looking to challenge with a lawsuit this executive interpretation of green card applicant status, which would deny green cards to those who have been receiving certain types of public benefits. You're listening to Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, our weekly political roundup. We'll talk with our guests right after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdies.